Welcome to Indie Audio, the audio version of The Independent. To listen to past episodes of Indie Audio, go to independent.org. That's independent.org. If you like what you hear, please help support The Independent by going to our webpage and donating or becoming a subscriber. From Fearful Fantasy to Finally Free, a review of the exhibit Brave Beautiful Outlaws, the photographs of Donna Goschuk, running through March 17th in the Leslie Lohman Museum. This article was written by Jenna Heimowitz and published the November issue of The Independent. Near the entrance to Brave Beautiful Outlaws is a picture of Donna Goschuk at the 1970 Christopher Street Gay Liberation Day Parade. Snapped by Deanna Davies and looking like a young Bob Dylan in the Subterranean Homesick Blues video, she holds a sign that says, "I am your worst fear. I am your best fantasy." This one picture has a hell of a lot to say about how queer women were viewed. Discriminated against and looked down upon, but also an object of lust. Love me or hate me, I'm still an obsession. As lesbian rapper Lady Sovereign once sang, unlike the mainstream, which could only see queer women through a funhouse mirror, Goschuk offers an alternative view steeped in familiarity. Raised in the Lower East Side, Goschuk is an activist who aligned herself with the Gay Liberation Front and trained at Cooper Union until she became demoralized by its heterosexual culture. Brave Beautiful Outlaws is her first public exhibition, and whether that's by choice or bad career luck, it's been a loss for the art world either way. The historical perspective coupled with a raw style that pulsates with sex and love and horror, and above all, humanity, makes this a must-see. One of Goschuk's subjects was Joan E. Byron, a fellow photographer. Goschuk took a picture of Joan lying in bed topless and half-covered by a sheet, one hand under the cover. The photo instantly turns the sophisticated gallery visitor into a peeping Tom. Should we really be watching someone who might be masturbating? But Goschuk wants us to enjoy it, and the fact that we know the photographer is her lover makes it kind of okay. This is more than just a hot picture, though. Goschuk reframed queer sexuality as an authentic language that connects women in love. The image reflects a rare lesbian gaze that replaces the common male one of the day. In Byron's nearby photo of Goschuk, lesbian nudity is reframed as merely practical as we see Goschuk's getting into a tub, which, because this is the pre-gentrified Manhattan of the 1970s, is in a kitchen. That shot, like Goschuk's image of a lesbian living out of a packing crate, yes, a packing crate, suggests an uncomfortable relationship between poverty and queerness. For so long, queers were not seen as capable of having families. Goschuk's mowed that idea down too by photographing a queer couple and their child, as well as writer Sue Katz with the daughter of her girlfriend. She also highlighted the pain of family with pictures of Marlene Elling, who suffered sexual abuse from one or more relatives, left foster care, and was in juvenile detention, where at 14 she was punished for loving another girl. In one photo, the very butch Marlene is naked from the waist up, smiling. The nakedness feels like another reframing of queer sexuality. People who look as masculine as she did were not supposed to be topless. One activity queer women were engaging in for sure was attending conferences. In two such pictures, Goschuk shot women sleeping at the Revolutionary Women's Conference in Limerick, Pennsylvania, perhaps indicating that they played, wink wink, as hard as they worked. We learned politically marginalized groups did not always act with each other's best interests in mind. The Revolutionary Women's Conference was organized immediately after lesbian feminist participants in the Black Panthers Revolutionary People's Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia marched out in protest when their demands were being ignored, says one plaque. And then there's Betty Friedan, seeing lesbians as a danger to feminism. Goschuk attempted to be inclusive, including Black and trans subjects. There is a special section devoted to her trans sibling, Myla. The picture taken of Myla wearing her sister's dress, allowing herself to embrace her true gender identity, is a highlight. Myla's eyes are closed, a sense of relaxation or sadness flooding her face. Years later, Myla will have to hide her trans identity to keep a job as a night maintenance worker, and Gottschalk will be there to take the photo. Myla seems resigned to her fate in that picture, and you just might want to lift her out of it and into 2018. Not that it's that much better on this side of the calendar. Like Marlene, Myla died before her time, and both deaths feel like they might have something to do with being queer. Following Gottschalk's time in New York, she went to join lesbian separatist communities in California, a furthering of her activism, but the exhibit does not show that. Once, lesbian separatism was all the rage, but that has been replaced by respect for intersectionality. Radical lesbianism thrives, but it has been sadly hijacked to apply to lesbians who are trans-exclusionary. On a positive front, queer women are still laser-focused on getting their rights, just like in Gottschalk's day, and now they have the internet to make it all the easier. Queer female photographers certainly more well-known. Zanel Muholi, Annie Leibovitz, Catherine Opie. But what of Gottschalk's peers? Where are their exhibitions? Where are the queer women of color who were taking pictures in that era? I find it hard to believe they didn't exist. I, for one, would love to see more exhibitions of women like Gottschalk's, women who are and were as brave and as beautiful. That was the Indie Audio, the audio version of The Independent, produced by Elia Grant.